You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Lori Cure, the president and CEO of Innovative Connections Incorporated, a consulting company working with individuals and organizations to expand capacity and improve organizational effectiveness. She is also the author of the new book, Leading Without Fear, The Fine Line Between Fear and Accountability. Lori, thank you so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
And certainly the pleasure is ours as well. So first of all, most of us have heard of the flight or fight response to fear. Is that applicable to the workplace? And when should leaders fight or take flight?
That's a good question. First of all, I like to look at that fight or flight response as a very natural and normal reaction to our fear. And workplace fears are like any other fear that we encounter in our lives. They really reflect this human need to cope with events that we struggle with or that sometimes are beyond our own capacity. So when we're in those situations where our coping mechanisms are not strong enough for the circumstances we're presented with, we will oftentimes instinctively result to and move towards either fight or a flight response. So when we think about this in terms of our workplaces, we respond again in very similar ways. When we think about fear in the workplace, fear is a result of perceived threat. And I always use that word perceived because perception is reality. And so if we perceive a threat, we will move into one of those coping strategies. And so what's helpful to know is that these threats really center around very predictable areas. So first, one of the areas that we will experience threat is oftentimes in those areas of safety or security. And so, you know, when we look at the unemployment rate and everything that's happening in our economy right now, this is one place where people go to threat most often. Am I secure in my job? Will I have a job going forward, or am I at risk of unemployment? We also experience threats to our sense of belonging. Do I feel included, valued, a part of a team or an organization? Or do I have some sort of perception of being an outcast in some way? And then the third level of threat that we typically experience in the workplace is around our sense of self or our ego. So these are threats around, will I be successful? Will I be failure? Can I do a good job? Will I disappoint someone? And so anytime those threats begin to appear for us in our work settings, whether we're a leader, whether we're an employee, whether we're an entrepreneur, we will defend ourselves against those threats. And fight or flight are the two mechanisms that we instinctively have from a very evolutionary perspective to respond to those.
The subtitle of your book is The Fine Line Between Fear and Accountability. Can you explain that fine line and why are they so close?
Absolutely. That subtitle actually came to me in a session that I was having with a very large organization. It was a hospital system, and so we were doing work together, and it just struck me very, very quickly. But what we know is that our workplaces and us as leaders, we demand accountability. We need employees that are going to show up in ways that that are accountable so that they're responsible for the commitments that they're making. Our goals and our strategies and our ability to move forward on those really depend on accountability within our organizations. We can't increase profits. We can't have stronger customer satisfaction. We can't have engaged employees unless we have a solid foundation of accountability. But what we sometimes see happen is that in the process of trying to drive accountability, we actually, as leaders, introduce that threat, which then elevates the level of fear. So I talk about this fine line between fear and accountability because we have these organizational realities, as I call them. We have to create and communicate a sense of urgency. We've got challenges that we're facing as organizations. We're kind of in these tough positions. We're in competitive positions. We're in these positions of change. And all of these things can make it tempting for us to want to introduce fear to drive people to be accountable for their behavior. But what actually happens is the opposite. So when we introduce fear as a mechanism to drive accountability, what we really do is people collapse upon themselves. They become less productive, they become less innovative, they become less creative, and ultimately they become paralyzed. So again, when I think about this fine line, there's this need to say, how do we become accountable workplaces, and how do we drive accountability in our organizations and in our companies without the introduction of fear? Because the minute we introduce fear, we actually shut people down, and they can't function the way we need them to accomplish our goals.
Now, why is fear more prevalent in today's workplace, and what particular pressures are leaders facing that place stress on an organization and its employees?
That is a great question, and I have a couple of different responses to that. The first is what we just talked about around this notion of fear being generated by a perception of threat. What we also know from fear research and theories and even our own experiences is that fear increases when we've got circumstances that are uncertain or when things are unknown. And as most of us can probably attest to, we are operating in times of high uncertainty and high unknowing, so to speak. What we also know is that today's organizations are experiencing an unprecedented rate of change. I recently read a statistic in an essay that was written by a futurist, and it talked about this notion of accelerated change. And what I found fascinating about it was the item that it quoted said that in the next 100 years, one would expect that we would produce 100 years worth of progress or knowledge. And in reality, because of the way technology and knowledge and information is changing so rapidly, we will actually create 20,000 years worth of progress in the next 100 years. So in my own mind, I struggle to kind of get even a sense of what does it mean to have 20,000 years worth of knowledge created in a century time period. And ultimately, what we've done is our need for change has actually outpaced our capacity, our individual psychological ability to manage the change. And when we can't manage the change, we go again into that coping mechanism, which then leads us to that place of fear.
If you wouldn't mind, what are some strategies for better understanding your emotions and how they factor into your leadership style and approach?
Absolutely, because it doesn't do us any good to talk about fear unless we talk about how do we manage it. So the biggest strategy that I oftentimes promote, and it's one that you'll find at the very beginning of my book, is around self-awareness. If we do not place ourselves in positions where we can experience self-awareness, where we can learn about ourselves, where we can understand what's important to us, what we value, what our triggers are in different situations, without that knowledge of ourselves, we actually can't lead from a place without fear. The other thing I talk a lot about is if we know that fear is generated from a high level of uncertainty, then one of the strategies is to begin to reduce that uncertainty. But oftentimes in the process of reducing the uncertainty, we try and achieve a level of control that's unattainable. So another strategy that I oftentimes recommend to leaders is this notion of being unattached to the outcome. And sometimes as leaders, we actually have to get a little bit more comfortable with the ambiguity. We have to begin to embrace some not knowing and some uncertainty, which can feel very, very uncomfortable at first. And so my advice is always create clarity where you can, know where you're going, get clear on your path, but also be willing to embrace the uncertainty and the ambiguity. The third piece of advice that I will sometimes share is around assumptions and appraisals. So when we talk about fear being around this notion of a perceived threat, how we perceive a given threat can be key. So if perception is reality, the minute we change our perception, we change our reality. So sometimes we will go into fear when there's actually no threat that exists. So really being clear on where the threat's coming from is a really sound piece of advice for leaders.
Today we are joined by Laurie Kerr, the President and CEO of Innovative Connections Incorporated and the author of the new book, Leading Without Fear, The Fine Line Between Fear and Accountability, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Laurie, does fear ever have a positive effect, and can it be an effect tool for motivation?
I get that question all the time. I think as leaders, we oftentimes will resort to fear as a mechanism for kind of this last-ditch effort. I need people to move. I need people to have a sense of urgency, and so I will introduce fear to get them to do something. And again, what we actually do is we create the opposite effect. So what I will tell people in response to that question is that fear will rarely motivate, and that as leaders and entrepreneurs, we should actually never intentionally lead from fear or introduce fear into our teams or organizations. It does not motivate. Research will tell us that time and time again. What we do know, however, is that within these highly complex systems that we operate in, these competitive environments, all of these stressors that we have as leaders, We know that sometimes there will be a natural level of fear that just exists because of the complexity that we're in. And what we can do to manage that is, you know, to offer our employees and ourselves high levels of support. We also need a really clear and simple direction. What we've learned from advertising campaigns, there's been a lot of research on fear-based advertising campaigns, and what they've learned is that the only time those messages are effective is when they're followed up with a high level of support and when the message is clear and simple and people actually think they can be successful in achieving it. So if we take some of those lessons, we can apply those to leadership and know that in some circumstances, if we use those strategies around environments of fear, we can mitigate the fear.
And what are some of your key tips for reducing fear within the workplace?
So in addition to some of the tips that I've already shared, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I will give to people to reduce fear is avoiding what I call the language of fear. And so in the book, I talk quite a bit about different phrases that we use, different behaviors that we engage in that will actually increase fear in the workplace. These are things like using condescending kinds of statements, belittling others, aggressive types of behaviors. Oftentimes, you know, there's gossip that occurs in workplaces, and so not allowing that as a leader can be helpful. And don't ever threaten people with their jobs. That sometimes is a way that we think, you know, if people are fearful of their jobs, they'll perform better, they'll work harder, and that's not the case. So I always encourage leaders not to use those behaviors or those language of fear elements. It seems basic, but time and time again, we see leaders that use these things. It induces fear, and then they wonder why they can't achieve the results. So those would be my biggest pieces of advice there.
And where does fear impact us most? Is it a loss of control, security, our jobs, or other issues, even pride?
Pride is a big one. We talked earlier about kind of those three phases where people experience fear in the workplace. One was around safety and security, the second was around belonging, and the third was around ego. So when you speak about pride, that's where that ego piece really comes in. And so what I found in my research is that our deepest fears, those fears that link to our primary needs for survival, are around our job security and our safety in the roles that we're in. Some occupations are more hazardous than others, and so knowing that there's safety and security in our roles becomes really important. But what we find is the most common workplace fears are really those areas around self-esteem, and pride falls into that piece. Will I succeed? Will I fail? Am I good enough? Can I do this? Do I have the right skills? Do I have the right competency? Do I have the right resources? All of those kinds of questions surface in our fears around our self-esteem, our confidence, our ego-based.
And how do you help leaders who simply don't want to confront conflicts and instead inflict negative behaviors on others? Can they be changed into more effective leaders?
Absolutely. That's actually the work that we do. So what I always encourage leaders to do is recognize that it's a personal choice. So leaders need to actually step into a place where they're ready to make a change. Sometimes they make a change because they recognize from self-awareness that it's time to do so. Other times they are forced to make a change, either through complaints or through the threat of losing their own job from their boss, those kinds of things. So there's a number of different things we do. We do a lot of self-awareness activities. One of the assessments we use is called the Hogan Assessment, and it really offers leaders a picture of their strengths, their values, and what we call their derailers. And once they understand their derailers, they can kind of move into that place of being more effective leaders. We do a lot of team-building activities. We do a lot of conflict management work and other kinds of change management work to really help not only leaders but teams move through and become more effective and not feel like they have to use fear and conflict and inflict those negative behaviors on others in order to be successful.
If you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information about Innovative Connections Incorporated and also to make their purchase of your book online.
Absolutely. The book is available on any of the major retailers. So Leading Without Fear, The Fine Line Between Fear and Accountability. You can find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or again, any of those. And then our website for the consulting practice is www.innovativeconnectionsinc.com. And all of the information and our contact is available there.
Certainly appreciate your joining us. Great information. We've been speaking with Lori Cure, the President and CEO of Innovative Connections Incorporated, a consulting company working with individuals and organizations to expand capacity and improve organizational effectiveness. She is also the author of the new book, Leading Without Fear, The Fine Line Between Fear and Accountability. And the website of reference, once again, is InnovativeConnectionsInc.com. Lori, thanks so much for being with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. It was such a pleasure.
Certainly, and the pleasure was also ours as well. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.